listening to the NarniaWeb.com podcast, the Narnia Web Council, and I'm your host, Rillian. Hello, everyone. This is Rillian from NarniaWeb.com, and welcome back. I know it's been a while since we had our last podcast, but something came up, thought some of you would definitely be interested in. As some of you know, back in 2008, I was studying at New College in Oxford, England. But I'm back in Oxfordshire now doing some studies at the Bodleian Library, and it occurred to me that some people might be interested in just some of the opportunities that I had. I know a lot of people asked me questions. In fact, while I was over here, the woman I interviewed today, who is an Arnie Weber, Lady Lilne, she is actually heard about it partly while I was here. And so because this is really just the city of C.S. Lewis in many ways, and I mean, you can see the college where he attended, you can see the college where he taught, and even study C.S. Lewis here, like one of the people I interview is doing. Some of us here at NarniaWeb decided, you know, this is something that some of you would be interested in, and something that maybe you could recommend to your friends, because this is a pretty cool opportunity, and we like to share it. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and jump now to the interview, and let's listen in. All right, well, I am here in Oxford, England, and I'm here with two people here studying with the Oxford, some Oxford colleges, and, well, first of all, I'm here with Lady Lilne, who's on Narnia Web, and Lady Lilne, glad to have you with us on the podcast.
Thank you.
And what's your first name?
I go by Lizzie.
And I'm also here with Franklin.
No fan name, not yet.
No fan name, but we have our own reasons for having you on the podcast as well.
There you go.
So we're glad to have you here. But what are you two doing here in Oxford? You're both Americans. What are you? And you're not full-time students at the university, so what are you doing here?
Well, studying here at New College, just for Hillary term, and we're here through a program called Summit Oxford, which is a branch of Summit Ministries based in Manitou Springs, Colorado. So we're kind of doing a two-part program. We have Summit Ministries, which studies philosophy, worldviews from a biblical perspective, and then we have the Oxford Study Abroad program, which allows us to participate fully in a Oxford term.
And what college are you in?
I'm in New College. I'm here with the Summit program as well. I studied through the Oxford Study Abroad program last summer and was actually here to study C.S. Lewis. So I was here for a lecture course and a tutorial based on Lewis. And when I was here, I heard about the Summit term, went out, had lunch with Kevin, the director of it, and decided I had to come back for a full term. So now I'm here at New College, and Lizzie, you're at New as well.
Yeah.
So taking tutorials and finishing up this week and just trying to get all our papers done.
Now, I'm already done. I finished my last tutorial. It's wonderful.
New College is one of the colleges here. I mean, it's founded in 1379, and some of your friends are in Christ Church, where some, I think as Ben says, some lesser-known fantasy films about angst-filled teenagers were filmed.
Angsty teenage wizards
were filmed. But, I mean, these are some pretty prestigious colleges. I mean, you know, when you say you're at a college, what are you actually doing there?
I had lunch in my college today, so you get to eat there.
So these big dining halls, you're actually eating in the dining halls.
They have, just like that lesser film of which we will not speak, they have the beautiful grand old, you know, medieval-style dining halls, just huge, gorgeous wood-paneled paintings everywhere, candles at night. So that's really a lot of fun. And then also they have library facilities, which are nice. You know, the Central University has a library, but then each individual college has a library as well. And those are nice because you can actually check the books out of them. You know, the Central University library is a non-lending library, so unless you want to sit there all night, you can't actually take the books with you.
Yeah.
So those are, in my mind, the two biggest advantages of the colleges, a place to eat and a place to get books.
Yeah.
Well, you're either a visiting student or you're an associate member of the college, and both of us are associate members. So that means we, you know, get the privileges of the library. Oftentimes, we meet our tutors within the college grounds.
So for a lot of practical purposes, you're basically one-term students at these Oxford colleges.
Yeah.
And tell us about the Bodleian real quick, because you, I know you both... Well, which rooms do you study in usually?
I'll usually go to the Rad Cam at the on the upper floor. They have two floors to the Radcliffe Camera, which is that very famous library, the circular library.
Which, frankly, you all should go ahead. You can just go on Google Images. Google Images. Type in Radcliffe Camera.
Mm-hmm. Open up a new tab. Just do it.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. I like being up there because you feel almost like you're at the top of a birdcage, and it's a lot of fun looking. You can look across and see everyone studying, and it's gorgeous. They have books from absolutely everywhere in every time period.
Because the Bodleian has it's a reference library of 11 million books.
It's big.
It's amazing. But
which is a huge pain sometimes. You know, they have the warehouses outside of town, and if you want a book, a lot of times you have to get it called up from the stack. So it's not like, you know, in America, when you go find it on the shelves and there it is. You know, you have to call it up and wait 3 days, and it finally gets there, and then you can't take it with you. So it's pretty, but sometimes all those books just make for more trouble than they're worth.
And I've heard of people slipping books in their bags, which you usually can't do because the porter will check. But I heard of some people, if it's small enough, you can slip it in, but then it probably feels like it's burning in your bag.
There's a curse, though. There's a curse, yeah. Yeah,
it's a pretty weighty curse.
There's actually a formal curse written out. But, and Liz, you're a Narnia Weber. Tell us about just some of your interests in Narnia and kind of how that maybe ties into even just why you wanted to study here.
Mm-hmm. I've been reading the books as long as I can remember. My favorite book is Horson is Boy, by the way. And, I don't know, I would have to say that my earliest memories of Narnia were probably shaped more by Pauline Baynes' illustrations and then the BBC series, which I really watched obsessively as a child.
The only good thing about the new Don Treader movie was the end credits.
The end credits. I loved that.
The end credits were truly awesome.
Did it have the BBC clip in the end?
No, the end credits of the new Don Treader movie were animated Pauline Baynes illustrations.
Oh, okay.
It was really well done, but sorry, I cut you off.
No, if you didn't want to leave the theater, you know, and storming out. But no, it was good. And so I've kind of grown up with just hearing about Lewis, and I've read his scholarly works, and I wouldn't say he was the strongest incentive to come here, but when I found out more about his life, and I visited the kilns about 2 years ago, and I would say that's when I decided that I wanted to come back to Oxford, just being in the kilns, being in that environment, being more deeply invested in the culture that is so prevalent in all the Narnian characters was really quite fun. I got to live at the kilns for about a week, so I was really absorbed. And it was wonderful. I slept in Joy Davidman's room, got to eat in C.S. Lewis's kitchen.
Yeah.
So really absorbed in the environment.
One of my YouTube videos I got really a lot of hits. Well, one of them was the one I did at the Bird and Babe, and then also one, which is the pub where he and Tolkien and the other Inklings met. And then there was, of course, the one I did at the kilns, which got a lot of hits, and people just loved that. And it was, but you got to actually stay there for a week. Now, explain real quickly, a lot of people think Oxford is just kind of a university in London. Can you explain just really briefly again, Lewis lived where and where is Oxford again? Just so you can.
Well, so there's the main Oxfordshire, I guess we could say. Lewis lived in Headington, which is about 20, 30 minutes outside.
So it's a town in Oxfordshire.
It's a town in Oxfordshire. It's about 20, 30 minutes outside of the main hub of the university. And the university isn't one building like we have in the United States. It's comprised of, I don't know, 30 or so different
over
colleges.
30,
about
38 colleges. Oxford colleges, I think, is the last count.
And they're all individual entities, but they all create one big Oxford University.
Throughout this whole city of
Throughout
Oxford.
Throughout the whole city.
So
it's very much a university town.
Yeah.
It takes the whole idea of an American university town totally to another level. In America, we speak of town-gown relationships, but here it's just, you know, you take out the university and probably nothing's left, you know, maybe Tesco, but I mean, everything is supported based on the university. Most buildings are tied with the university, but you know, so it's very inseparable, but it is also spread out because of that. So, you know, Lizzie and I live, in a block of flats outside of town by the train station. And so it's not like in America, you know, in America you'd think, well, you have off-campus housing, but sort of here it almost feels like it's on-campus housing because the campus
Everywhere's
is the town.
Campus.
Well, and a lot of the students, I mean, very few, very, I mean, a lot of the students, if you're doing an MPhil or a DPhil, you're not going to live in the college. A lot of the students don't. But, so, you know, just, I remember just, you know, a couple of weeks ago, or even I think it was last Friday, you all said, hey, we're going to the Bird and Babe tonight, you know. I mean, And a lot of people will know that was the Eagle and Child Pub, or one of the pubs where Lewis and Tolkien met. What's it like just being here in the town, walking literally the same streets, sitting in the same seats where these guys, these famous authors, would meet?
It's marvelous, and just speaking as a Lewis fan, to be able to go to the Bird and Baby, one of my favorite places to go is Addison's Walk, which Lewis and Tolkien frequently walk down just on, you know, a lonely night or after.
I don't know. You might have showed it to me.
You haven't been to Addison's.
I don't know that I... Well, maybe... I don't know that I have.
Oh, you'd remember.
I was... Because I was here in 2008, and...
It's right outside of Magdalen College.
Okay.
Magdalen was where Lewis was a fellow.
Yeah.
Later in life, and... There's actually a building where he had his rooms, and Addison's Walk goes right past that. And I could probably point you out
I've been around modeling grounds. I may have been there.
It's really neat when you walk it, because in some of the papers I've written, I've had to read a lot of his letters pretty extensively. And if anyone's read his letters to Arthur Greaves, he writes very clearly about the night he came to sort of an intellectual acceptance of his faith. Not so much the emotional acceptance, so he wasn't all there yet. But he became intellectually convinced that the things his friends were telling him were true. And when you read his letters, he specifically says it was after a conversation on Addison's Walk with J.R.R. Tolkien and Hugo Dyson that he came to this acceptance.
Interesting.
So as you walk this, you know, fairly short walk, you're thinking, well, it was somewhere, you know, in this field on these stones.
He made this revelation that changed his life.
It's really interesting. So
there's actually a beautiful stone with a poem by Lewis that's right on Addison's Walk, so you can go there and make a little bit of a pilgrimage. And
you should look the poem up, actually. It's called What the Birds Said Late in the Year, I think.
I think so.
And he wrote it the year before he died, so he died less than a year after he wrote it. And it's really interesting when you read it, because it's clearly sort of a poem about someone feeling like they're maybe coming to the end and kind of getting ready for going further up and further in, I guess we might say. Very interesting poem.
Way to go.
Yeah, I
know. Nice.
Bring in those Narnia references.
Yeah.
You know, I have read the books now. So, really interesting.
Now, here in Oxford, you don't have classes. I mean, you have tutorials. And Lizzie, why don't you tell us about, say, usually students have a primary and a secondary tutorial. Why don't you tell us how your primary tutorial works and what it is?
Well, my primary tutorial is 19th and 20th century British and Irish drama. So I am studying playwrights from Oscar Wilde to Samuel Beckett. And it's a really cool time in theater history, because you have everything from, you know, farcical dramas to theater of the absurd to plays that literally caused riots in the streets. So just I'm studying the development of theater conventions and theater styles within that time period.
So this isn't a program where you're just studying C.S. Lewis. Just
no,
to make that clear.
It's
what,
not.
What, like, what you can study, like, what are you studying? What are some of your friends studying, even? Just
a whole range of things. We have somebody studying, not biochemistry, but is it chemistry?
Something science-related.
We humanities people. No. We know the S word, and that's it.
That's right. Exactly.
Sure. And
exactly.
We have a friend that... math word.
Oh, math. Yeah, the other
maths,
thing.
As they call it.
Maths.
Yeah.
But everyone studies something usually pertaining to their major. I graduated with a degree in literature, and I have an emphasis in drama, so that's why I chose specifically to study drama.
And that's something to clarify here, because, Franklin, you're currently an undergraduate.
Yes.
And Lizzie, you are not. So you don't have to be currently enrolled in a university to attend this program.
You do not.
You're not.
I'm not even intending to be enrolled in a master's program, which is... I mean, some people would say that's kind of pointless, because, you know, why would you spend all of this money and go through this whole process and not have the credits apply toward another degree?
Even though it is accredited.
It is accredited. Yeah. And I signed up to get the credit should I decide to eventually go into a master's program. But I really don't intend to. I wanted the experience. I've dreamed of studying in Oxford for a really long time. And what I hope to do eventually, I can use these experiences of studying the academic side of you know, drama and the other tutorial that I'm doing.
Now, your tutorial, tell us how that works. Like, what is a tutorial versus a class? Because it's completely foreign to the American system.
Right. It is not a class in any sense of the word. You have, I think generally most Oxford students have about three tutorials throughout a term. And they have three terms in a year, by the way, instead of just two long semesters. So you meet with your tutor once a week, and your tutor will either pre-assign reading for you to do, or they'll just say, you know, here's a certain topic that I want you to research. And so you do all the research, you produce an essay, which is generally 2,000 to 2,500 words or so, depending on the tutor. And so you write your essay on that topic, and then you meet next week with your tutor. You read it together. I have a tutor who likes reading my essay to me, which is a little bit intimidating at times.
Usually you have to read it to them.
Yes, that's the traditional style.
Yeah, bring a bottle of water for this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're meeting once a week with a tutor. And then what are you doing the rest of the week?
I am
going to the Egon Show.
Studying my nails off. Franklin's going to the Egon Show. Spending time with, you know, spending time with a pint. But
the pint and the spirit of Lewis. All right, come on.
And there we go. Yeah, so you just, you meet with your tutor and you discuss your essay, and some of them either critique you and they grade you right on top, or they'll send you your grade later. Mm-hmm. Then you discuss generally the topic and discuss what you're going to do the following week. And that's all it is. It's, you meet up with your tutor, they're kind of a mentor, and you leave, do research, write an essay, you know, rinse and repeat.
So instead of the American system where you might be in class, you know, 15 hours or whatever it is, you know, for the semester, and your daily schedule revolves around the schedule of classes, here your schedule revolves around you, what you want to do, because there's only going to be one time a week for about an hour and a half. You actually have something you have to be at.
Now, Franklin, tell us a bit about yourself. Lizzie, we know she's just graduated, and she's the artsy one of our, group. And by the way, your drawings are amazing.
Thank you.
I will say, really. Anyone, if you go to the Summit Oxford Facebook page, like that, you can go through the photos. You'll see some sketches. Those are Lizzie's sketches. They're amazing.
Thank you.
You see Magdalen College, where Lizzie's
tall.
But those are actually the cloisters in Magdalen College.
Okay.
Which,
very beautiful.
So tell us a bit about yourself, Franklin.
Well, again, I'm not on Narnia Web yet, but I guess I'll have to be now.
Because you'll have to be.
Yeah, one of you needs to come up with
I'm
a good name
for me. I'm
twisting
his arm right now.
Ow.
But I came here, my first time in Oxford was actually last summer, and it was specifically to study Lewis, which was a lot of fun. I was sitting in my home university, the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina, last year, thinking, how can I get out of here? And I found this program.
It's kind of a summary of military program.
Yes, just kidding. How can I ditch this uniform for a different country? So I was able to, and I got over here last summer just to study Lewis. So I took a lecture course from an American professor, Dr. Michael Bauman from Hillsdale, and I took a tutorial course with Dr. Michael Ward. So I had kind of the American system and the English system all together in Oxford last summer. Loved it so much, and while I was here, someone had mentioned to me over the Summit program, and again, I'd never done Summit growing up, so I thought, well, this might be worth looking into. Went to lunch with Kevin Bywater, the director, really fell in love with the idea of the program, and decided to come over here for the term. So now I'm here, I'm doing a tutorial on leadership, is what I'm learning. So I guess if Lizzie's the artsy one, I'm the pragmatic one.
So that's your primary tutorial.
Yes, so leadership is my primary. I'm doing that with a tutor from the Said School of Business here at Oxford. We've been talking about a lot of neat things to do with strategy and interpersonal relationships and organizational leadership and whatnot. But my secondary is all about Lewis again, so I just can't get away from him here.
So tell us about your secondary. Who's your tutor?
Dr. Michael Ward. He's the author of Planet Narnia, or I think there's a an easier version. Do you know the title? What's the easier
the
version?
The Narnia Code, which he's told me he's not a fan of the title.
If you, pour years of your life into this incredible book, I mean, this book has... Yeah. More end notes than any paper I've ever written, and then you actually, you know, have the shortened version. But it's a nice look into his ideas. If some of your listeners aren't familiar with him and his ideas, they might take a peek at the Narnia Code.
But,
very interesting.
I mean, you're studying. I mean, you're studying in Oxford. You're an associate student at an Oxford college. You're a fantasy associate, and you're getting to study with someone who is. I mean, if someone were to name the top five Lewis scholars in the world. Michael Ward would undoubtedly be in there in terms of his not just his unique ideas, but even just the research and studies he's done. He'd be right up there with some of Lewis's better biographers. But I mean, that's really astounding. And you're not the only one. You have, I think, one or two friends who's taking tutorials with Michael Ward.
I inspired them.
So what's that like? Actually, so you're meeting, how often do you meet with for your secondary tutorial?
We meet every other week, but we had a few times where we were meeting every week. It's very, you know, it's very individualistic here. It's kind of whatever you want to do. If you want to do more, if you want to do less. Those friends you mentioned that are taking a tutorial from him, they all added it after they'd even gotten here. So once you get here, if you say, oh, I sure would like to study X, then it's a very easy thing to pick that up. And, you know, the point you were making about the tutors themselves, you know, this is Oxford, so you're going to be with the world's foremost whatever it is you want to study. So my leadership tutorial is with a gentleman who was in charge of all the South American operations of a Fortune 100 company. I mean, he's an eminent business leader, and now he's here as an academic. You know, so I have that, and then I turn around and have tutorials with Dr. Ward, and it's just really amazing, you know, the people you rub shoulders with here.
So all of these tutors really are leaders in their field. That's one of the things that is really amazing. I remember my tutor when I was here with the first group in 2008. I mean, just my English literature tutor. I mean, he was a polymath. It's like he did everything. He was doing a lecture series on the Battle of Britain. He was doing, had published numerous books on music composition, and he was an authority on the history of history of pop music and pop culture in the UK with the Beatles, going back to the Beatles and all that. And then he, of course, did his, you know, 19th century poetry and literature, and it was amazing. You know, these guys, they can. I think that's one of the things that was so unusual is just the scholarship here. It was at a depth that I had not encountered really in the U.S. Maybe a few people in the U.S., one or two. And the more I thought about it, oh yeah, they didn't come from Ivy League. They came from Oxford or Cambridge.
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult, you know, coming here. You have to be prepared. If anyone's interested in actually studying here, to just kind of be prepared to be not at all the smartest person in the room. You know, most of the time, whenever I'm anywhere, probably including this room right now, I'm always the dumbest light on the train. So it's very, very difficult. You have to really lay aside.
I'm glad you realize that. Yes, you're wondering when you'd come around.
We're going to remind him eventually.
Well, maybe it's just because I don't have a username yet, but I don't know. But it is a very humbling experience coming here. You know, you're never the smartest at anything. Whereas back in the States, you know, it's very easy to be kind of the best at maybe one thing at your undergraduate college.
It's easy to be singular in that regard because at most U.S. universities, it seems that all the, you know, really clever people are concentrated in one area and they're the nerds. They're one particular group. But here,
they're the people on Narnia. Well. Just kidding.
No, you're not. But, you know, here, everyone, there's a certain base level of scholarship that every single student here has, which is really quite remarkable. Even a 19-year-old here will probably have read more classics than, I would say, quite a few people out at your public university studying literature.
And they know what classics are.
And they know what classics are. And it's wonderful, and you can talk to them. It's just a very accessible, easy way of talking to people about scholarly things without feeling like you're a nerd in a room wearing a Narnia web t-shirt.
Hey, two of those. Don't
I have
don't
one. Know. No, I wear mine.
Which so one? Which one do you have?
I have the one that says "Dear Little Fanatic."
Oh yeah, that's my, I love that one.
Well, she had to ask me what DLF stood for the other day. She said, "I have this shirt that says DLF," and she said,
"I forgot.
It's something from Caspian. What does it stand for?" And I had just read Caspian. You know, I pulled an all-nighter the night before and read the whole thing along with four or five other books. You know, just for an essay, and I said, well, I know exactly.
Had you read the Chronicles before you came here?
You know, it was one of those things that my parents had read to me when I was a kid, and I, you know, see, I hadn't read them in so long that I saw the movies and really loved them, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I saw, you know, Dawn of Treader and thought, man, this is pretty gnarly, so.
Why'd we invite him again?
So, but it's been a,
So you're just a recent convert, and you get to hang out with one of the top scholar. This life is so
it's not quite fair.
Well, not only that, you don't only get to rub shoulders with people like Michael Ward. There's also Walter Hooper and other prominent Lewis scholars.
Oh yeah, you just mentioned that today. So what are you doing with your what?
Oh, I'm going to tea with Walter Hooper today. So this is just this is a little advertisement for coming to Oxford. I mean, you meet these people, and you know, I had if your listeners are unfamiliar with Walter Hooper, you know, he was Lewis's personal secretary for about the last year of his life, and they became very close very quickly when Walter came over here from America. He's actually from North Carolina originally. But since Lewis's death, you know, Walter's really stepped in and been the editor of all of his papers, you know, worked on biographies, worked on pulling his letters together. I mean, it's just astounding the level of work he's done. So he's really probably the world's foremost sort of authority on Lewis right now.
That's one of the amazing things, is just because, I mean, it's not like, oh, you get to come here and listen to lectures in a class of 1,000 students from the top, you know, person in certain fields. You get to actually meet one-on-one with these people. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually, since you get your little thing, and I, like, Michael Ward and I are getting lunch tomorrow, you know, and so it's going
to
be...
Oh, well, he's coming to dinner at my flat in a couple weeks, so, you know,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I'm having tea with the Queen next week.
So. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And you don't just bump into people like Anna Popwell, which, sure, she's not here anymore, but...
But Emma Watson is here, and I have...
No, she's Cambridge.
Here. No, she's here. She's at Worcester College.
She's at Worcester. Yeah. Believe me, man, I've been there every day.
We've been sitting by the gate trying to get
her. Don't tell Benjamin, my little brother. Now, you're not just doing the Oxford studies. Tell us briefly just about the worldview studies. What is that? What is that all about? Because that's a big... Because there are other Oxford programs where you can come here. Some of them are 10 weeks. This one's, you know, 15 weeks. A little more, actually, for the whole time you're here. What is the philosophy of worldviews stuff that you're doing?
Well, how the whole program of Summit Oxford is set up, we have the Oxford term either before or afterwards, and that's about 8 weeks, so we're just a normal student at Oxford. But once a week, we go to our program director's house, and we have a continual series of biblical studies. Sometimes we branch off on different topics, talking about anything regarding theology and biblical studies.
And culture as well. You know, we've talked about economics last week and poverty, you know, all kinds of just relational things, you know, the things that make us humans and the things that make us able to connect on a cultural level, you know. So it's kind of, it's neat because we have these specific tutorials where we're doing, you know, drama or Lewis or whatever. But it's nice to be able to go once a week and have this larger conversation where we're talking about these big questions of culture, you know, the big things that people wrestle with.
Because basically you're studying major worldviews. You're studying, you're getting into worldviews like, of course, Christianity, but also worldviews like secular humanism or worldviews like Marxism or Islam as well. And so, like, even in some of your reading material, you both had to read the Quran for, and that's required text for all the Summit students. How many students are in your group?
We have 8, I believe.
We have 9.
9.
We've had one join us since we got here,
that's
yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's, I think, typical. Usually we have between 7 to 12 each term. And then, of course, for the summer term, which is a new... our new program we're starting up. We're not exactly sure even how many will be coming to that.
I think people will be a fool not to come here in the summer. You know, this is my third time studying abroad in England, second time in Oxford, and this summer is just, wow, it's amazing. And it stays light until 10:30 or 11 p.m., so you can have plenty of time to go to the pub and still walk home, and it's amazing.
And so you two are right at the end of your term, so you haven't even started the intensive yet. You've just been meeting weekly throughout the term. And then when will you start the intensive, and how long does that go?
We're starting that next week. We're going to Ireland for a week, so there is a break in between where you can go travel, and some students go to places like Ireland, Scotland. I think some of you have gone to France and Germany.
But we have 9 Summit people in the group, so we've rented a 9-passenger van, and we're going to go... just tour the western coast of Ireland for a week and then end
over
up
St.
in...
Paddy's.
Yeah, we're going to end in Dublin on St. Paddy's Day, so...
Oh, wow.
But after that, it's back to the grindstone, and we'll have about a brief a week intensive where we're studying these worldviews. I think we're going to be studying Islam more intently, just studying, like, motivations, you know, why people believe what they do and how that impacts the culture around them.
And we'll be having those discussions and, you know, lectures from Kevin, the program director, and... We also have Skype conversations with a lot of the authors of the books we read, which is a lot of fun. So that will be happening about 8 hours a day for a good solid several weeks after we come back for a week.
Basically Monday through Friday for 3 weeks after you come back.
Yeah, for 8 hours a day. So,
well, even though you two aren't completely done with the program, I mean, you still have this last bit in front of you. So just so far, what do you think What do you think you've gained from it? And Lizzie, the Nani Webber, so we'll end with you. You can get the final pitch, and frankly, I'll let you take the wind out of her sails.
Well, I think one thing we haven't completely talked about is just how, just the experience of studying in another country, just take even Oxford out of the equation here. So many American students never spend time outside of their comfort zone. And, England, we sometimes forget, is definitely a foreign country. They speak English here, but it's very much a different country.
English in the broad sense of the word.
Yes, yes, in the broadest possible
actually,
sense.
You get here, I wonder if I speak English.
wonder.
Oh, believe me, we speak English.
Well, it's a really vibrant, culturally diverse city here, which is remarkable. And I'm not sure how it was in Lewis's time. I don't think it was quite as ethnically diverse.
It's always been, that pillar of academia for the past, 1,000 years, so.
Yeah, because New College was founded in 1379. Mm-hmm. That's the New College.
Not so new anymore.
Yeah, it was new back then.
But it's just an amazing experience. Coming out of the country is first of all, the first step in the right direction. But then coming to somewhere like Oxford, where you do get that, incredibly personal one-on-one time with the world's foremost specialists and scholars in the fields in which you're really interested. That's stunning. That's second to none. So you come here, the level of academic performance is above anything I've ever experienced. So you're writing all these papers, you're producing 5,000 words a week, reading a couple hundred pages a week. But at the same time, going to the symphony, going to these famous pubs, walking the streets where, all your favorite heroes walked, it's just really an incredible experience. So that's what I get from this. That's what I get from studying abroad. It's just being somewhere different. Broadening horizons and learning about yourself just by putting yourself in a different environment.
And I have to ask, have you two visited the lesser-known C.S. Lewis and Tolkien pub?
The Lamb
and
Flag?
I was going to say, if it's a pub in Oxford, I've been there. You just kind of tell me.
Well, we hopped in the other night because the Bird and Baby was really full.
Yeah.
I don't think we actually stayed.
I actually prefer the Lamb and Flag, okay. I must say. It's a little more sequestered. It's easier to find yourself sequestered in there just because there's a little more nooks and a few nooks and a few crannies. And,
yeah, I do like the Lamb and Flag.
Yeah, it's we had my group, the director, myself, one other Oxford student, and then another one of our students who's now here doing her PhD. We had one of the best, just off the record, just discussions. It wasn't even a formal session. It's just us getting together, talking about art and how we think about art. But
that's what's great about Oxford. Your tutors, you go to their house. I've had many times where I've gone to their house for a tutorial. It's spilled over late and they've said, well, let's go to a pub and finish this, and they go and then they get you a drink and you sit there and talk until, the pub closes. So, it's one big conversation in Oxford about kind of the big things.
How about yourself, Lizzie? What do you think? I mean, you're not at the end of the program, but still, what do you think you're going to be walking away with? What have you walked away with so far?
Everything that Franklin mentioned, he recapped it pretty well, and I think that's a universal experience for people coming from America who do have a strong sense of everything they know is American. They're used to the American way of lifestyle, because when people come to America, for the most part, they assimilate into our culture, and we take them in, and there's exceptions to that, but coming here, you're the one who's being assimilated into an entirely new culture. You can't help but get wrapped into the environment of eating pasties and going to a pub and walking down.
You can be rebellious. You can eat at KFC every
you
day.
Can,
if you
can, but no. I would say just walk right past it.
Burger King, baby.
I hope you don't go to Burger King.
No,
here.
I did once.
But there's so many experiences that you always hear about. And you see on the BBC, and you hear about in the books, you read about through Lewis, that you actually get to experience firsthand, and it's a wonderful thing.
I think that's one of the things that's amazing, just even being here. I was showing some friends back home some pictures, and just the trees, even. You get an idea, these are where Ents came from.
Right.
These are where, all these different ideas. It's it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And the people, too.
Yeah.
Just understanding the various types of people within the British culture, you can really see those reflected in characters, you know, in Narnia, that lesser-known angsty teenage wizard novel. And then, you know, in Lord of the Rings as well. So I think it gives you a deeper appreciation for the type of characters they're trying to portray.
Yeah, you understand where it's coming from. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't read a novel by a Chinese author set in China and expect to completely understand it without researching the cultural history of that place. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, we tend to think Britain is just America 2.0, or maybe Britain 2.0. So, you know, coming here, it's actually like, wow, this is a different country, and there really are some neat things to learn, you know, in seeing that. So,
well, great. Thank you so much for your time. This has been great, and look forward to seeing you all both around more, because this next phase is going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be intense.
I guess Ireland first, but I got to have the relax.
You got to come back. That's our one condition. St. Patty's Day is one day.
I think it's enough to keep him there.
I think it's the year of St. Patrick, I'm thinking. Take a little time off.
Well, just remember, hey, further up and further in, you have to come back.
Okay? Oh, okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah, you come
can pull that on me.
When they call you. Like this song.
Oh,
the
no.
Franklin's been called.
No,
it started out as a feeling, Franklin.
I hear Regina. I gotta go.
Thank you both so much.
Right. Thanks, Rillian.
Rillian. Ooh.
Yeah.
Very noble.
That was my interview with Lizzie, a.k.a. Lady Lilne, and Franklin. They are students, again, with the Summit Oxford program, studying for the spring term. And once again, they have a fall term. They also have a summer term as well, and they're currently accepting applications for that. So if you want more information on Summit Oxford, go to summitoxford.org. That's their website. They also have a Summit Oxford Facebook page that you can like. So once again, this was an experience that I had in my life that was very formative, very amazing, and quite magical. And so hopefully this has been interesting for all of you, and perhaps even helpful for some of you as you decide what may lie in store for you in life. Thank you once again for joining us. Again, their website is summitoxford.org. If you want to email me, my email is rillian@narniweb.com. You can go ahead and email me, and I'll help set you up with connections and such for this. So, thank you once again, and until next time, further up and further in.